I got the bloodlust.
Me too.
I want to kill. Let's kill.
Kill. Kill. Kill. Kill.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Bloodlust. It's your go-to podcast for classy broads and a token dude talking horror. This is episode 123. We are talking tonight about Pet Sematary, the remake, that is, of the adaptation of the novel, this time directed by Kevin Kolsch and Dennis Widmeyer, who you might know from Starry Eyes and some of the better shorts that we've seen in anthologies.
Yes.
They did one in Holidays. It was very good.
Yeah, and didn't he have one in one of the ABCs of Death?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, so.
Great.
My name is Amy. I'm your fearless leader. We're dudeless tonight. Eddie was having some kind of something. He couldn't watch the movie.
He's been working hard. He's going on vacay soon with his family.
Oh,
so
yeah?
He's getting things all settled at the farm.
Oh, how nice.
Yes. Plus it's springtime in the farm. On the farm. That's got to be a lot of work.
He's probably got
anyway.
Lots of chore in.
It is not springtime.
Well, no.
It is, I kind mean, of, technically. It
is in the really wet, rainy way.
Yes.
It is more so in Ohio than it is here.
Oh.
Yes. All from Michigan.
Slightly.
Right now, joining me, Kitty and Jamie, of course.
Yellow.
You know and love them.
Hello.
It's winter still here.
My hands are numb.
I've had my heaviest coat on today. Heaviest coat.
I'm sorry to hear that. I did not think it was that cold, girl.
It was 35, guys.
I don't know. I've already put away one of my heaviest coats, so it's gone.
Well.
So I have to suck it up with this flannel jacket.
Yeah. See, I had to get gas and stuff.
Oh.
And it was super windy, and I moved.
It's bullshit. I'm ready for some warmer stuff.
I moved two carts in the parking lot that were out.
Just flying all
over
the place.
Of course.
Yep.
I moved two and put them away, and what was my karmic reward? When I came back, there was a goddamn shopping cart wedged underneath my side mirror up against my car.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is your luck.
Bullshit artists. It's too windy. God damn it.
It's too windy. Someone's going to hear about this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Expect a letter. So, Pet Sematary. We've been waiting for this, huh?
Yep.
We have. We've been a little more on the excited side for this one. We're fans of the old Pet Sematary.
Yeah.
And one of us likes Stephen King a little bit.
One of us does.
I like
Stephen King.
Well, at least one does a lot.
I'm not a super fan.
Yeah. You're a pretty super fan.
I think so. I probably have read less than half of his books, I bet. That guy is prolific.
Very prolific.
Well, then that sounds like you've got a challenge ahead of you.
Yeah,
like
just
to
throw
alternate.
Them in.
Yeah, like every other.
Yeah. Just throw a couple in every week and you'll get there. So I wanted to ask you guys as our round table tonight, what is your history with Pet Sematary? Because I have history with it, my own self. I used to watch the 1989 movie all the time. All the time. It was on cable all the time. And I watched a lot of cable growing up. In fact, I've always had a hard time spelling cemetery correctly because of Pet Sematary. I didn't even understand the, like, jokiness when this came out as to why they made a little joke about the sign in the movie, because I didn't realize it was even wrong.
You can't be
only
one.
And it's not even close.
No, not at all. I mean, it's phonetic.
I mean, it's close, isn't
sure.
it? If you look at it, you can tell what it's supposed to say.
Right. As in,
otherwise.
Like, yeah, it's phonetic.
Yeah.
Shut up, Kitty.
Girls, please. So that's my history with it. I just recently read the book at the beginning of this year. And I enjoyed it very much. I think it's one of his better books. I'm not a great fan. I've read a lot of Stephen King, but I'm not a large fan. I read lots and lots of his stuff when I was younger, and I like his short stories. And I like some of his books, but I don't really like his prose style very much. And we've talked about this before.
I like Pet Sematary. That was one that I remember reading a couple times. That and Cujo.
I was always afraid to read Cujo because I was afraid it was sad for the dog.
It was.
Yeah, see, I don't think I can do that.
It definitely was.
I read that book Watchers by Dean Koontz about that super smart dog and the monster, you know, that was also created in the lab where the dog was created. And that made me really sad, too, so I can't.
Oh, I don't know that one, but that made me think of this movie that used to be, I think it was like a made-for-TV movie called Man's Best Friend.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
About, like, super genetically superior mm-hmm. dogs. I really liked that movie.
Yeah, that was a good one. Hmm. Kitty, when did you read Pet Sematary?
I read it after you. So, sometime this year.
That's right.
And
you have never seen the 1989 movie.
Well,
is there any reason?
Until just now.
Oh, you watched it today?
Yeah.
You missed
Look at
that
you.
Part of when she said that.
Oh. Yeah. What was I doing?
Getting things
Talking, probably.
Squared away. Telling us how wrong our opinions were.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
yeah, I just finished it like 10 minutes before we were supposed to record. So
it's very fresh.
Yeah.
Is there a reason you didn't ever watch it before?
No. I guess my parents didn't let me watch scary movies, probably. I mean, I used to get scared by, like, Are You Afraid of the Dark? They're not going to let me watch this shit.
That's fair.
Well, yeah. And I guess you wouldn't really want to watch the movie when you got older until you read the book, huh?
Of course. You know me.
I do. We had a little part B to our roundtable. Which Stephen King book would you like to not be adapted next?
Or not be remade.
Or not be remade, right. It could be the movie or a book or whatever. Jamie had a great one.
I said don't touch Misery.
Yeah. Keep your filthy hands off Misery.
No one's going to tap Kathy Bates.
No. Unless you have Kathy Bates reprise her role.
It's the only way that'll work, yeah. Maybe. But still, I don't know.
No,
I'd be curious.
I would accept that.
I'd be curious what they could do with Cat's Eyes.
You would like them to adapt that.
I don't know. That wasn't
that
anything
little
special.
Monster was awesome.
Yeah, they can't make that little monster any better. I think I just need to rewatch that. Because that was one that was on cable all the time.
That was.
And I used to watch it every time I saw it.
Yeah, me too. I love that little last one.
Oh, it's so great.
I mean, the other ones are meh.
I like them all right, but that one was...
The smoking one, I guess, is pretty good, but it makes me nervous.
Oh, I need to watch this again.
Cat's Eye was good.
Well, Pet Sematary.
But first, okay, Misery. That's a great one to never touch that.
Yeah, please don't.
Kitty, do you have any thoughts on this?
I have a lot of thoughts.
Let's hear them.
Shawshank.
I was going to say that. It's a good one, too.
Stand By Me.
Mm.
Yeah, also probably, from the same book.
They may be doing that, I bet you.
I wouldn't be surprised
if they didn't. With all the 80s kid stuff going on, like Stranger Things and all that shit, it's really...
I'm starting to, like... exhale about that. Like, I think they're over the...
Yeah.
I think we're over the hump?
I think we are.
I mean, except for American Horror Story 1984.
Right. But hopefully that's more like George Orwell 1984, no?
No, it's not. It's a slasher camp movie.
All right. Well, Kitty, we know you're excited about that.
Of course I am.
So we'll have to hear Kitty's updates because I don't know if I feel it.
I haven't been feeling it the last two seasons.
We know that. And the last one was,
I want them to try to do The Dark Tower again.
Yeah, I always hear how awesome that series is.
It's incredible.
It isn't. It is a shame to all you big fans of that series that they did it such a big wrong.
Did any of you actually watch that?
I'm not going to. You can't make me.
Well, maybe you should try it. Maybe it's not as bad.
Maybe you should try it.
Well, I mean, it's at least Idris Elba.
Yeah. And Matthew McConaughey, and we like him.
Do we? I still don't know how I feel about him.
Have you watched True Detective?
No,
have you
the
seen
third
Dazed
one.
And
because
confused.
I got bored on the first one.
Do you mean the third one?
I mean the third one. I got bored with the first season, and I didn't bother with the second, so I watched the third.
You were bored with the first?
How easily bored I get. Oh, if it does nothing happens the first episode, we're done. We're done.
What do you mean nothing happens?
It doesn't happen till the end.
Ugh, Kitty.
Oh dear.
Well, we're gonna have to take a short break to recoup from this. And when we come back, we're gonna start talking about the Kolsch and Widmeyer Pet Sematary and how it stacks up to the book and the original movie. So stay tuned.
Attention, minions of the Bloodlust, this is your benevolent overlord, King Bloodlust, ensuring you're subscribed to the following media outlets, be it Twitter at _TheBloodlust_, or on Instagram at TheBloodlust, or on Facebook, or you can find us at TheBloodlust.net. Also, don't forget to leave us reviews and ratings on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen. Overlord has spoken.
All right, we're back. So, I didn't answer the roundtable about adaptations. I wouldn't like to see another Carrie. I think that they nailed that. It was very of its time and wonderful.
Yeah. It's and about time they just plug it up.
Plug it up. Plug it up. Exactly. But I wouldn't mind if some of the stories from Night Shift were adapted into something. You know, maybe not an entire movie because they probably don't have enough meat for that. But maybe into, I don't know, like an episode of something. Like an hour-long mm-hmm. episode of something. I know they've revamped yep. Creepshow, so I would love to see something from Night Shift, because that's my favorite short story collection of his. So that's my answer for that. Now, let's get into Pet Sematary 2019. Kitty!
It was released April 5th of 2019.
Thank you, Kitty.
It is directed... Oh, you're welcome. It is directed by Kevin Kolsch and Dennis Widmeyer. Stars Jason Clark, Amy Simetz, and John Lithgow. It's rated R. Has a running time of 1 hour and 41 minutes. Has a 58% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's not great.
It's not great.
It's not great. It's number 2 at the box office currently, as of April 14th, when we record this.
And I read somewhere that someone, one of the two fellas, Kolsch or Widmeyer, said that if this movie did well, like if it was successful, then they would do a prequel.
Yes, I saw that.
Which could be good or bad. If it was a prequel, like a way early history prequel.
That'd be cool.
That'd be super cool.
If Kolsch and Widmeyer wrote it, I would be more interested.
Yeah.
They did not write this one. This one was written by a couple of people. David Kajganik. I forgot to put that in the stats there. I apologize. Because we've had writer-director. I'm deeply sorry, listeners. A couple people wrote this. And David Kajganik, the guy who wrote the screenplay for the Suspiria reboot, has an uncredited part in writing this. He didn't end up having his name on the final product.
Curious.
But not Kolsch and Widmeyer, and they wrote Starry Eyes, which you might remember them from. We talked about that in one of the earliest episodes of The Bloodlust.
A way early episode. We were into it. We dug that movie.
Yeah, we did.
It was a weird movie.
It was. This one, you know the story probably. In case you do not, it is about the Creed family. They move to a small town in Maine called Ludlow because the father wants to spend more time with his family. His name is Lewis, and he was working in the ER in
Boston,
and it was very busy and kind of stressful job, I'm assuming. And so he thinks this is going to be, he's just going to coast. He's just going to fucking
go relax
coast.
And... you know, some town in Maine.
Yeah, and a farm. I mean, who doesn't want to do that? So he's working as a doctor for the university, like the campus doctor. And so they have this pretty farmhouse, and we have the obligatory scene where the family comes out and sees their new house for the first damn time. Just like you see in all these movies. Just like you saw in the 89 one. And it's a pretty house.
It's a beautiful house.
Lots of acreage. Lots of acreage. So much so that there is not only a place where the local children bury their dead pets, the titular pet cemetery, on their property. But then beyond that, beyond this big pile of sticks and stones and dirt and probably bodies,
Most likely,
a swamp and another burial ground where people put their dead when they don't want them to stay dead.
Yep, like a magical, weird bog area.
With some kind of Native American folklore surrounding it.
Wendigo related.
Yeah. It was the Mi'kmaq Indians in the book and in the 89 movie. I don't know if they said that in this one.
No, I don't know what they said.
They were trying to be more vague about it this time. But they do mention the Wendigo by name in the movie, which they do not do in the 89 movie. And I can tell you that because I can pretty much recite that movie.
I'll bet you could.
I'm sorry.
I can tell you that because I just finished it 30 minutes ago.
That's right.
They definitely do not say it.
Yeah. Meow.
Well, and they don't show it either.
I know. I have a big problem with that.
You have a big problem with them not showing it?
Yeah.
Well, I think you should go first, Kitty. Kitty, who has recently read the book, recently seen the remake, and very recently watch the 1989 version. You are our test subject, basically,
for
this. Oh,
Jesus.
I want your opinions on all of them, really.
Okay. Number one, the book is terrifying. Neither of the movies lives up to it.
Well, no, but can they ever?
But not even close.
But right. I'm with you in that, in not even close. The fear you feel, or the tension you feel when reading the Pet Sematary is nothing like the experience of watching either of these movies.
And there's also a lot of sorrow and grief in it.
It, like, hits you real hard.
Yeah, it's a very surprisingly deep kind of meditation on
talking about
loss.
Death and what happens after
absolutely.
Death. And
more, I think more lofty than a lot of his books, but... I haven't read as many as you guys.
Exploring some heavy themes and ideas.
And he gets to something with, in terms of death, that I've rarely seen kind of summed up that way.
So the book, scary. Probably top three in terms of just scaring the shit out of me from Stephen King.
What are the other two?
The Shining. And I can't think of a second one. The Stand. Duh. Okay, The Stand.
Okay.
I mean, probably a lot more. But those all stick with me. The 2019 movie does not add anything to the original. Like, at all. They made a couple changes. And I think... is that a spoiler? Shit. Sorry. So they changed something big in the movie, and that actually kind of made more sense to me, because in the first movie I started laughing out loud towards
Did
the
you?
End
didn't work yes. for you huh
yes we'll get into that more but I was just laughing out loud. It felt like a Chucky movie.
Yeah,
I've
heard that comparison
it.
before.
Yeah,
because I think they have to use a little doll at some parts, and or maybe a little person.
Oh, no, there was a doll at one point.
Yeah, definitely a doll at one point.
I mean, I don't think that's a spoiler, but we can wait.
It is not a spoiler. Well,
89 people.
The way that you described it, it was not a spoiler.
Right.
But really, they didn't even... There were some shots that they kind of did almost like shot for shot, which I thought was kind of cool. But there was nothing that they added besides changing that major plot point that made the movie better. It was really unnecessary. With it being 30 years later, you'd think you could, you know, have better effects or anything like that. But really, the 1989 one had pretty good special effects in terms of, or practical effects in terms of the bicyclist and the wife and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I agree. There was not that much gore in this one. No. There was less gore. Yeah. And I wasn't even sure it was rated R, as a matter of fact. I had to check.
Honestly, it doesn't feel like it needs to be.
No, not at all. Maybe just because, like,
the brain's coming out of the guy's head, probably. Yeah. You know.
That'll do it, I guess.
And violence to a child. Smoking.
Yeah, that'll do it. You know. It's the smoking.
It was the smoking.
It's yeah.
The mild That's where I draw terror. The line.
Yeah. Intimidation.
If he was vaping, it'd be fine.
Have you seen that before?
Yes.
Oh, man. Anyhow.
Intense gazes.
Steely glances. Harsh words.
Wasn't Judd's wife alive in the books? Or in the book and not the movies? Why?
She's kind of like one of the dominoes that falls, you know? Once he tells Lewis about the, you know, the burial ground, but horrible things start to happen, and she was one of the first ones. In fact, she almost dies earlier, but Lewis saves her.
Right. Why did they take her out, do you think?
I just think that they threw her in at one point, just a little bit, at the end. But they, I just think they took it out to make room.
Yeah.
She was barely at all in the
almost as simplified
89 version, was she?
I don't even remember.
I'm not
her
even
in
sure she was in it.
She wasn't.
I think Stephen
I thought
King
she was in it.
Did you guys know, listeners and co-hosts, that Stephen King adapted his own novel to the screen for the 89? That was him who adapted it.
And he had a cameo.
Yes, he was the preacher.
Could have done without that.
I mean, give him a break.
He's allowed.
He's not Alfred Hitchcock. Get out of here.
Well, who is?
But yeah, she's not in the 89 one. There is a random like housekeeper that helps the Crandalls. Not the Crandalls, the other ones. The Creeds.
And she was in the book too. Missy Dandridge. But
right.
She doesn't die, I don't think.
I don't know.
That was
I don't even remember her from the book, so clearly not.
Stephen King's, I don't know, that was his choice, I guess. He chose to cut Judd's wife out.
Yeah.
When he adapted it. I think that Kolsch and Widmeyer they wanted to stick pretty close as far as that kind of stuff went.
It almost feels like they didn't read the book, they just did a remake of the movie.
Oh, I don't know. Well, maybe.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh,
I don't think
that
there's anything that they did in the movie that was more faithful to the book. They said the word Wendigo. That's it.
And they showed the Wendigo for a second. There was like a...
It was a very like...
Yeah, but
did
it was
you
cool.
Or did you, it reminded me way, way much. It reminded me a lot of The Ritual.
Yeah, me too.
Like, yeah, that scene where you're kind of seeing it in the...
See, I didn't
see
even see it. God
hands.
Damn it.
Well, it's okay.
I mean,
Kitty.
That was a neat part, but
you can
to
go
me,
back
it
and
almost
see it.
Looked exactly like.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna
do that. But I
but
like,
no, but I'm into it.
It's
I like
the
that
insinuation.
Scene. It's a very weird. It's the implication.
The implication. I'm sorry, I knew it was something like that, Chris.
Judd,
but I understand
is,
what you mean.
Yeah, I don't know. I got nothing. I think the actually what the new movie does worse is the barely talks about his relationship with her parents, the in-laws, which is definitely
totally
a big
cut
part.
That out.
I think that's a big part in the book and in the 1989 version because, you know, if my kid just died and you're going to send me to go stay with my parents, there's better be a good reason other than you got to button stuff up.
Yeah.
Maybe my father trying to punch you at the funeral.
The
That's
fight
a good reason.
At the funeral home and the little boy tumbling out of the coffin for a second. I mean, that was just, it was very harsh and sad and disturbing. This one really treads pretty lightly over some
tame.
Of the more Yeah, it doesn't take quite as serious an approach to death, I don't think.
No, it almost felt like maybe they were going to go into that a little more by her asking, or it seems like they were trying to get into that sort of exploration, but they did not. It didn't feel as intense.
Oh, no. I mean, they basically just tried to convey it by showing her dad giving him stink eye.
Yeah. And, like, things coming back from the dead.
Well.
And what all that entails.
Sure. So did you like the 89 movie? You still don't think it can measure up to the book, which, sure.
Yeah, it was okay. I probably won't watch it again.
Which one did you think was creepier?
I don't know. I guess the second one, just because the cemetery was creepier in the second one and had the tiny part about the Wendigo.
Which cat did you think was cuter?
The first cat, the 1989 cat.
You like the Russian Blue?
He looks so soft.
Better than the Maine Coon.
But the Maine Coon did wear a tie at the premiere, so points to the Maine Coon.
So cute.
I giggled every time it showed Church.
Yeah, me too.
Because it was so funny, and all it did was look like a cast that was just like, yes, I am
created here.
This chaos.
Yeah.
Wherever there's chaos, you will see me.
I did. Yeah. I enjoyed thinking about, what stuck with me most from this one was thinking about the people whose job it was to put gunk in Kitty's hair to make Kitty look dead and muddy.
And how long that must have taken.
Scraggly, and how they must have trained the kitty to, there are five of them, but trained the kitties to sit there and get their makeup and hair done in their own little trailers. That was my favorite part about this one.
I loved the cats. They were my favorite part.
Yeah. So what would you recommend, Kitty, as far as, you know, the book, the movies?
I would recommend the book and really the first movie more than the second because, the second one doesn't do anything. It's the cemetery is a little bit creepier, but that's really just because they had a fog machine, I think. It's like $50.
Because they splurged for the fog machine in this one. It really added to the
ambiance.
Listen,
you go to the Halloween store day after
you can
Halloween.
Rent it, I think.
Listen, you can seriously
Did either of you feel annoyed, excuse me, that when they went to climb over the pile of sticks and stuff, they went through the, like, climbing up the straight up and down, like, face instead of going to either side where the sticks and everything are built as a ramp, like a natural walking
like almost in
platform.
Stairs sort of built in.
That's my beef, much like him wearing his jacket the entire time.
It's more dramatic.
That grave,
Jamie,
like,
you
sir,
have to
you
suffer
are roasting.
I gotta say, yeah, we were talking about that. That was Jamie's thing. She was preoccupied.
I was so annoyed.
While I was watching, thinking in my mind about makeup artists and hair people preening over Kitty, Jamie was thinking, you're digging a grave. And you won't even take off your outer layer. An entire grave.
And you've somehow managed to do it perfectly. Like,
perfect
square. 90 degree angles, perfectly rectangular, go to the right depth. Oh, there it is. I brush it off. Your coat still looks fine. You never took it off.
Not a drop of sweat.
You know you worked up a sweat. That was such an unrealistic scene.
And how are you going to carry the body of a young person?
Right.
After digging a grave. Your arms will be shaking so bad.
So bad. You would be covered in dirt.
That too. So.
I digress.
Well, Kitty, anything else you'd like to add before we, before spoilers? Spoiler town?
Nope. I just have probably a couple spoilery things. You do not have to see this movie. Sorry, guys.
That's a pass from Kitty.
Mm-hmm.
You get an out
no
of this
from
one.
Me, dog.
Thank you. Thank you for being our test subject. Jamie.
Amy.
What do you think?
I think this is another meh for me. I'm on a meh streak. I'm with Kitty in that I really don't feel this movie added anything that really in any way set it apart from the 89 version. And I probably didn't watch it nearly as much as you, but I did watch it quite a bit. And I'm always going to be more fond of that one. And, like, this one wasn't bad. Like, they did a great job. I wasn't wild about, what's his name, Jason Clark.
I'm never wild about that guy. As the dad.
Like, I just didn't, I wasn't convinced that they were, like, a close family at the beginning. So I didn't get it. I thought the everyone else, the wife, I thought did a great job. And the kids did fine. The little boy was cute in that there wasn't really anything expected from him.
Just had to sit, toddle around.
Just his face where he's thinking, what's wrong with my family?
And like, almost get hit by a truck.
We're like, guys, I'm still here.
Right. Hey, remember me?
Yeah.
I just slept in this car.
Yeah. But like, it looked real nice. It was a well-made movie. It told a cool story, but it was the same story that was told already. So, I mean, really, there's no other way to look at this movie except for it just being a straight-up remake.
Except for the, you know, which one dies thing.
But those are such, like...
I don't think it matters.
Those are such
lot.
Minor changes that didn't really do anything to change the outcome of the story or, like, the actual message or meaning of why they're doing this or anything. It's simply that it was more convenient and believable to have it be... An older child.
A girl child.
Well, it would be she's the girl in that one. But to have the older kid be the one who comes back as opposed to the little kid, because like Kitty said, it's more comical when you just see a little 2-year-old running around with a scalpel saying no fair. Like
let's play hide and seek.
Yeah, it's a little more
and chunky. Giggling.
You know, I think they wanted to do that.
But I liked it in the original.
Yeah, I liked it too. It wasn't as cheesy when you watch it as a kid, but I think that they wanted to bring in some of the stuff from the book where the like resurrected people seem to like have weird knowledge and shit.
And can speak more about their experience and what...
Well, more like they're just like possessed by something than it's like them.
Just a little kid.
Resurrected. Like it's something that's animating them. Mm-hmm. That's how it seemed in the book. Don't you think, Kitty? Like the stuff with Timmy Baderman and stuff. I really enjoyed that.
I wanted more of that. Definitely.
I wanted some of that at least in either of these, and they started to do it here, but they didn't.
Well, they did the Timmy in the first movie.
Yeah, but he doesn't talk. They just do it really fast. And I thought that scene was effective, but if he would have talked the way he did in the book, it would have maybe been even creepier.
Yeah.
And I thought that was why they were doing it, why they wanted, you know, the older child rather than the younger child.
Right.
And I appreciated that they started going down that road, but they could have taken it way further.
Yes.
Like I said, it's an R-rated movie. Why didn't you take that further?
Right.
Well, and I felt that... It got a little too, like, commercial horror movie after a while with it being the older kid. Because then it felt a little too much like the kid's possessed by something, by an evil force. And then here's some jump scare-esque moments. And that takes me out of it quite a bit.
That's the easiest way to take us like, out of something at this point.
What is it, Mommy? Why are you so upset, Mommy? Like, I don't know. I don't want to hear that. That's not scary to me.
No.
That's just annoying. Now you're just an annoying undead kid.
Yeah. Part of it where the little girl was dancing and breaking stuff, I just kind of liked that.
I thought that was all right.
Yeah,
it was
more just kind of cool.
Too overdoing it in conversation.
Too monstrous. It became too... Like, I like my resurrected people to shamble around.
Right.
Like, I'm just getting... Used to my corpse body.
Right.
I don't want them to have supernatural strength and dexterity right away. That doesn't really jive with the rest of the story.
No.
Right?
That's how I feel about it. That's why it seems like it felt more along the line of it is possessed by an evil spirit that just all of a sudden has this inexplicable... It can throw someone across the room, you know, like Lin Shay fighting ghosts.
Right.
Felt a little Blumhouse-y.
I didn't need that. I think it took itself less seriously at the end.
Yeah. It. I think it devolved a little bit into that sort of cheesy-ness for me. Not to a point where I think it completely ruined it, but almost like they didn't know how else to... Or they didn't really, since they hadn't touched on some of the deeper themes and ideas of death and... grief and what happens after you die, that sort of, and God and religions, like, since they hadn't really gone into that, it was kind of like, well, we have to do something with this. And it said it was just zombie families.
Yeah. Zombie
families,
guys.
I mean, that's a little spoilery,
guys.
But...
whatever.
Not too much.
Not super.
I don't know. It was... I did love Church. Church was great. And I liked John Lithgow as Judd. I didn't know how I was going to feel about that at
I think
first,
they did.
But it was all right.
The same kind of weathering.
He had great sweaters.
To his oh, that sweater. I liked that.
Yeah.
They did a lot of weathering to his face like they did to Nicole Kidman in Destroyer.
Uh-huh. I really love when he woke up from his drug-induced nap. Because I was just like, oh, God, that's like me every morning. Like, where am I? Where am I? What day is it?
Someone draped a blanket over.
Out in the yard in a lawn chair.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, but it was a fine film. I don't think it's like a necessary movie to see, but I don't know, if someone was like, is it worth going to see? I'd say, yeah, sure, go check it out. Like, it's not terrible, but it didn't, if you're a fan of horror movies and you are excited about it because you love Pet Sematary, well, this isn't going to really give you anything new. It's almost like a watered down light version of the 89 movie or the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree.
But I did learn that the actress that plays the wife is in Your Next.
Who is she in Your Next? Is she one of the...
I think she's like... what's his name's wife? Now I can't think of his
Ty
name.
West?
Ooh, that, yes, that is
yes.
helpful.
Thank
what's
you.
What's his name's wife?
It helped me.
But she knew. She knew.
See? I got it. That's why this works.
And it's weird. I was just talking about wanting to watch that movie again. Because
you
I
always
want to
watch that movie
I know.
Again.
And I've watched it so many times. It's one of the most rewatchable horror movies. It is so fun to watch.
It's a treat. A real treat.
It is.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like the people who made this knew what we wanted to see from a Pet Sematary movie. Or not us, really, but people, most people, wanted to see it from a Pet Sematary movie. Like, you could tell they were, like, thinking, well, let's punch up the Zelda stuff. Everybody liked that stuff. And, like, they kept winking at us during the truck scene, like, oh, it's gonna hit Gage. Oh, it's going to get him.
Even the ankle, the
Achilles
tendon
cutting scene,
you're like, oh, it's going to happen, and it didn't happen. It's like, come on.
I mean, he didn't need to do the exact same stuff. Like,
no.
I don't recall Judd's tendon literally being cut in the book. Do you, Kitty?
I'm sorry, it cut out. I didn't hear what you said.
Cut out?
did Judd's tendon get cut in the book?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so, but I don't know for sure.
I don't know. It was like they had a contract that said you have to include this, 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 and this.
Like, this is the most memorable part from the 89 movie.
Yeah.
If it is not in this one, people, I will revolt.
Our sources are, the polls indicate.
Yes.
Testing indicates.
4 out of 5 dentists agree.
Yeah.
You need to include this.
I would have really dug it if the directors had written it.
I would have been a little more interested in how it would have turned out, yes.
They really did a great job with the screenplay of Starry Eyes, and it didn't pull any punches,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like they could have done a better job.
I think so.
But I'm sure that they didn't have very much control, if any, over this. I don't think the Zelda stuff was as good, but maybe it's just because of my, you know, my history with it, and it really creeping me out when I was a kid. It's hard to say.
It was very unnecessary.
Did you think
changes?
Did you think that the Zelda from which movie do you think had the scarier Zelda?
The first one. The second one was too. It was too much.
I agree, and I don't understand how somebody could fall down the shaft of a dumbwaiter on accident.
I don't understand how somebody who doesn't have control of their body and it is so crippled in such a way that they have to drag themselves across the floor.
Exactly.
They have managed to pull themselves up and fall into one.
Exactly.
If it was just a kid who happened to be kind of that height and toppled
fine.
In, maybe, but this
someone
woman
who can't get out of bed
walk.
Can fall down the shaft of a dumbwaiter.
But
right.
I do have to say, before they went a little too far with it in this movie, I still, and that part creeped me out in the book, too. I still really like that part of this whole story in general.
Yeah,
just
because
the
it's
thought
a,
of like
a real thing, and it's yeah, scary and realistic,
and it's like a real life thing, but yet it's a monster to you, and it's your sister, and it's your sister who hates you because you're normal,
able-bodied,
and you don't have this.
Right.
I mean that, and you're just a little kid who has to like go in and face them. That is terrifying to me.
Uh-huh.
But then when they went a little too hokey
and make her into a monster from like a Grudge movie,
exactly. Once you've done that, then you've ruined that sort of, I don't know, veil of terror that was on that.
And I think Stephen King is very good at those kind of childhood fears and
look
capturing
at it.
Sure. And something that
look at it.
Would you look at it? Capturing something that kids that we all have in our past, you know, somebody going to visit your old great uncle who, you know, is in a hospital somewhere and being so scared and things like that. You know, he's good at that kind of stuff. And that's what made Zelda so effective in the book.
Yeah, that it's not even like a real...
It's not a monster.
It's not a real
There's
monster
nothing.
You have to be afraid of. It's something that you as a child have created and made terrifying in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're watching it as an adult, that still resonates with you because you remember that. So you don't need to add more to it.
No.
In order to get someone there. Like, we're going to get there anyways. Like, that's...
Yeah, have some faith in your audience.
That's a terrifying notion to us.
We've all, you know, we all have things like that.
So then the jump scares of just, like, the broken back and the face and everything.
It cheapens
it. It's now you've just,
Yeah, you ruined it.
Way to go. On it.
Way to go. I do think that the new version has better acting. Now, not Judd. I think Fred Gwynne was amazing. And I don't think you'll be able to top him, even though I like John Lithgow a lot.
No, that...
Kitty, having not seen the original, am I just being sentimental?
No, he's my absolute favorite, too.
I think, well, I mean, all I could think about was him being Herman Munster. So,
I think we might be sentimental.
I think they were both fine. I mean, he had a little bit more of a country accent, so I think that was more effective. But I think they both did a great job. Really?
Can we talk about how Jason Clarke is not American and it's really easy to tell?
It was so obvious to tell. They should have just let him have his accent.
Yeah.
Just let him
just
do
be
his accent.
Lewis Creed from Australia.
Yep.
Where did
just
he
do it.
Where did he like why is he in the movie anyway? Where did he come from?
He was in one of the Planet of the Apes, the second Planet of the Apes movie. He's been in all kinds of shit.
Oh, I saw
like
him in
a
Zero Dark Thirty.
Movies. Yeah. Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah, he doesn't do much for me. But
no.
I didn't like the original Lewis either.
I didn't really either.
I don't think...
He was
think
kind of like a Lifetime movie.
He was.
Actor.
Yes.
In fact, all of the acting besides Fred Gwynne in the 89 version is like Lifetime movie level, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree
this
with that.
This one, the acting is better in this one, for sure. I think
why
it's
does
one of the
wife, sorry, look like
no,
15
ahead.
Years older than Lewis in the first one? Is it just because 80s hair makes them look older?
I don't know. I think that's her hairdo.
Yeah.
It looks
the frosted.
It's like, looks
hair.
Like she married, like it's her second marriage.
She had a child, Brett, a child groom.
Yeah. Something like that.
You know, the thing that I think, besides the acting, well, the acting is a plus on the 2019 one's column, but in the 1989 one's column, I gotta say the production design and like, the set design and the way that it looked in general was really, it was the way that it differentiated itself from the book. There were certain scenes where like after, in the 89 version, after Gage had been to Judd's house, how when Rachel goes into the house, it's all nuts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything's askew and there's like moss on the walls and stuff. And just other things that were kind of surreal. In that version, I really liked that stuff, and it really added to how creepy it felt to me.
Yeah.
And so I would say it's hard, of course, for me to separate it from my nostalgia, but I would say that one's still better to me because of that kind of. Like, the acting was bad in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks better to me.
I'm with you in that I prefer the first one, and I'm positive it's mostly because nostalgic reasons that's one I'm used to, that's the one I've seen a bunch of times. But to me, everything that happens in that in that version, it works. Like, they don't overdo certain things and they don't underdo certain things. Like, it just worked. Whereas this one, they didn't know when to rein it in a couple times.
And it got a little funny at the end.
It just got a little too cheesy.
A little hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially once I read Stephen King's suggested ending, his proposed ending for this.
Knowing that they intended to change a big plot point.
Yeah, like, his proposed ending, how he wanted them to end this movie...
Way better.
...is much better than how they ended up ending it.
Yes.
Oh, like, I want to hear
why
it.
Why wouldn't you have just gone with that? Trust the dude who put this together, huh?
Yeah. I think we can all agree that if you're going to experience Pet Sematary for the first time, you'd be best off reading the book.
Yes.
I would say I like this one a little less than I like the first one. But neither of them are masterpieces or anything, and neither of them get to the emotional core of the book, which is much more mature than he usually gets credit for.
Yeah, I can't stress enough. The book is a really great read.
It's very dark. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most... It's probably his darkest book, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? What do you think? I'm asking you, Kitty, as you are...
I don't know, I'm thinking. I'm looking at my bookshelf.
Okay.
It's one of the darker ones. I don't know if it's the darkest. I mean, Carrie is pretty dark as a book.
Yeah, it is.
That's true.
But it's one of the darker ones for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't really suggest that they attempt to make it again, you know, because some of that stuff you just can't do in a movie. It's a 2-hour top story, you know. Mm-hmm. Just read the book, guys.
Yeah, just do it.
Yeah.
I will say that about this, is that this one, despite it being a newer remake and everything of a Stephen King movie, they still kept it at a very nice, decent runtime.
A little shorter than the original, as a matter of fact.
Yep. And that was just fine. Because if they had done any more, it would have been at the expense of adding more to the cheesiness
probably
of it. And it would have ruined it. It would have taken it from just a fine remake to a crappy remake.
Yeah. To it.
To it.
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 You know what I mean.
Oh, I've got it.
Okay. So that's what we think. I think we are going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about all the nitty-gritty, spoilery stuff. So, stay tuned, guys. Okay, guys, we're back. Let's talk about what happens. Obviously, you all know they kill the girl instead of the boy.
Yeah. I mean, we've pretty much said that.
Yeah.
Or hinted.
And you saw the trailer, right? So everybody knows.
Everyone knows.
Stephen King's original idea for the ending of this, knowing that they decided to make Ellie die instead. You want to tell them?
Oh, sure. Well, all hell breaks loose, and Ellie's brought back. Church is brought back.
Mm-hmm.
Ellie ends up killing her mom.
Brings her back.
Then the dad is killed.
Mom and Ellie
bring him back. And then the movie kind of ends, and you see Gage, the boy, is in the car, and the dad's like, he like knocks on the window or something.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of ends.
Right. That's the ending.
Yeah, that's the ending. Stephen King's proposed ending was that you wouldn't see the parents come back. You would just see Gage walk out into the road and a woman come out and grab him, like save him from a truck, I think.
Yeah.
Like a truck's coming down the road and she runs out and grabs him. And then it's like, where's your mommy and daddy? And like, that'd be the end.
Yeah.
To me, that is a million times more bleak and leaves it on like a, I don't, that same sort of dark tone that you feel when you watch the 89 version or when you read the book, that just kind of like, it didn't leave it on a cheesy, oh, it's the family's back together, but right. Now they're zombie family. Like, I don't know. Should have listened to Stephen King.
Yeah. Who are you to question him?
Yeah. I like that idea.
If you're going to change it, I like that idea.
Right. But that was it.
Yeah.
That was the old ending. The first trip out to the bog to bury Church, did that not seem like such a long trip? Like, they were hiking out there for kind of a while. It seemed like a while.
In the book, you mean?
Judd, no, even in the movie, like when Judd...
It's a long trip.
...takes him out there. Right. So at that one night when Ellie kills her mom and then they kill the dad, she's somehow able to drag bodies out there and back.
She's super strong.
Over that,
yeah.
Of course.
Duh.
I mean, that's where it's... I'm just saying what we've already said is that it starts getting a little cheesy.
A little silly.
Towards the end, where it's like, that's not... Don't do that.
That's a little silly.
Stop showing us that.
Stop doing that.
Stop it now.
Knock it off. Knock it off.
You don't need to bring people back. Because Lewis kills, for a second time, Church and Gage in the 89
version. In the first
version.
Movie, yeah.
Yeah.
And to me, that is more intense to watch and think about. The fact that, like, this grieving father...
Has to kill his child.
Was grieving so much, yeah, that he brought his kid back from the dead. And then now has to be responsible for essentially killing them again, even though it's not really their kid, but...
But it looks like him.
But it looks just like him. It's that sweet little boy face.
It sounds like him.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
No fair.
No fair.
The sweet kitty.
Ugh. And yeah, precious kitty. So it's like that is just far more intense than not killing them and then them in turn killing you guys. And then now you're all just like a big, happy, undead family.
Yeah. They'll probably just live in their house still.
And why didn't you bring Judd back?
He does bring his wife back.
Yeah, what about Judd?
Yeah,
he
was nice
to
you.
He was a nice guy.
Yeah, he showed you where the damn place was in the first place.
Yeah, you owe it to him.
But no.
Judd doesn't want to be brought back.
Well, no, I'm sure none of them did.
At least go get that sweater.
Yeah, for real. Before it burns up.
I like to think Church is running the show on everything, though. Just because his precious little face was sitting there when every shitty thing happened.
Little sweet pea.
Meow.
Little precious.
So cute. But yeah, that was the ending. Slightly disappointing.
Yeah, a little bit of a letdown.
What I did like when they, from the ending, when Judd was trying to find Gage in the first one, he could, you know, he could hear him laughing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then Church distracts him, and then Gage is under the bed and cuts his Achilles tendon.
Yeah.
So in the second one, when he's trying to find Ellie... He goes upstairs to the bedroom, and you see the bed, and you're like, oh, shit, here it goes again.
Right.
But then he kicks the bed, and she's not there. So I thought that was kind of cool. They changed
like,
that up a little bit.
Yeah.
They were like, we know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
We know what you're waiting for.
And it's like, oh, you're not going to get it. Just kidding. Here it is.
Just kidding. Yeah. Here it is. We delivered.
Just kidding. Sliced tendon.
Really, like, cut off his heel almost. It was kind
of... Yeah.
It was a deep cut.
It does not look pleasant.
But Gage... With the scalpel and like hanging his mom from the raft from the attic and then jumping from the attic door. It was just like a flying squirrel move.
Yeah,
it was.
And it was a doll.
100% a doll.
It was so funny. I that was laughing out loud.
Yeah.
It was not scary at all. It was hilarious.
Yeah, certain parts don't stand up.
It was hilarious.
This movie's way better than the 91 It, though. I'm just saying.
I don't think I can watch the 91 It ever again because it scared the crap out of me. And there's no way it's that good.
Obviously. It's the acting's on par, I'll tell you that.
Ooh. Really sold me there.
Yeah. So.
Well, there it is.
That's what happens, pretty much. Not a lot of gore. Not as much gore as I would have liked. More I would have liked, you know, strong language, adult themes. More adult themes.
Partial nudity.
I don't need the nudity in this.
Mature themes.
Unless it's John Lithgow. Just kidding.
Gross.
Taxes.
Yeah.
Or some other adult themes.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Game of Thrones.
That's tonight.
Speaking of.
Gotta let these ladies get out of here so they can watch it.
Well, at least just this one. Kitty said she's going to be too tired.
Yep.
Well,
I'm going to spoil the hell out of it in the morning for you.
Don't look at any internet. No, don't internet at all tomorrow.
See, I have to go and read what everyone else thought. That's why there's no reason. No way I could skip it.
Skip it. So, for our next movie, stop singing it.
It's in my head. I can't stop. I'm imagining it, too. It's like I have to skip it.
Do you?
Did you know what the very best thing of all
is? There's a counter on this wall. I was like, I had to say it or I'd die.
Ooh, I feel better. Yeah. All right.
For our next movie, we are going to be doing an anthology. We haven't gotten to do an anthology for a while.
I'm excited.
This one has pretty good people involved. It's called The Field Guide to Evil.
I just like the title.
Yeah. Just came out in like April on streaming, April 5th or something. Real recently. It is available anywhere you stream things. Oh my god, they did the Melon Heads. That's folklore from my area.
It's going to be a good one.
It's all different folklore. Calvin Reeder apparently made the Melon Heads, which is a very local legend from where I grew up.
We're on a folklore kick.
Yeah, we are. And Sean Evernall, who you might remember us fawning over when he made Baskin.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a segment.
It's John.
Yeah, John, not Sean. I'm really sorry.
Which is the weirdest thing ever.
Sean, I believe.
Sean John, for us by us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. And Veronica Franz and Severin Fiala, who made Goodnight Mommy, have a segment. And Agnieszka Smozinska, isn't that the woman who made The Lure?
That sounds exactly like the person who made The Lure.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, and I'm going to be pleased Agnieszka. About that.
Yes, that is. So we've got...
Ooh, I'm very
Dude
excited.
We got something for everybody.
The two who made Goodnight Mommy and the chick who made...
The Lure.
And a segment on the Melon Heads. Now, I am very excited.
Oh, I am
I'm
going to
watch
quite
this tonight,
excited for this.
I think. So... We hope that you will watch it and join us back in a couple of weeks to talk about it. I would love to hear what you guys thought of Pet Sematary, how it stacks up to the original, how it stacks up to the book, if you thought it was scary, which Zelda you liked better, which church, whatever you think, we'd like to hear it. And in the interest of getting these ladies to their Game of Thrones, we're going to wrap it up. We did have some comments, but we'll talk about them next time.
We can talk about them now.
It's okay.
All right, we'll talk about them next time.
And I'm reading Bad Man by Dathan Auerbach, and I'll talk about that next time, too. This is pretty good so far.
Very nice.
Yeah. Meow.
Meow.
Thank you guys for listening. Thanks, ladies.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Kitty, especially for being our test subject.
You're welcome.
Until next time, guys. I've been Amy.
I'm Jamie.
Karen.
Good night.
Good night.
Skip it.